We have to be very careful when we're using esoteric tools that we recognize that the power is within us. It's not the tool. The tool is sort of just, you know, like a magnifying glass or a telescope. It's a tool that you use in your spiritual journey, but you have to understand where the source of the power is coming from, which is always you. The interesting thing for me is that I usually see a correlation between someone's desires and like what is in their astrology chart. So there's typically that natural alignment that happens anyway. And I like to emphasize the caveat of free will. I find that's really important because you never want to give your power away to an astrologer or to a methodology that isn't you.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Curiously Wise. I am your host, Lauren Wittig, and I have Eden Wine here with me today, who interviewed me not too long ago for her show. So we're kind of old friends, and we're both looking forward to this because we really enjoyed the previous time we were together. I'm going to just give you Eden's bio, and then I will welcome her officially onto the show. Eden Wine is a lawyer turned mindset consultant, manifestation and empowerment coach, and astrologer. Eden helps reprogram her clients' mindsets by aiding in the discovery and healing of outdated beliefs, opinions, and attitudes that they subconsciously have about themselves and the world around them. With a carefully curated and customized approach that utilizes both practical, for example, somatic healing, and metaphysical esoteric modalities, which includes things like tarot and astrology and numerology and human design, all things I find fascinating. Eden supports clients in the process of deeply recognizing themselves and expanding and awakening to their innate potential.
I'm so excited to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, me too. So I do find it fascinating that you're trained as a lawyer, but you've turned into a mindset coach because those seem very, actually in a funny way, kind of connected. Because in the law, you're trying to convince people of things all the time to change their mindset about things or to convince them of a mindset. But so I find it really fascinating that you kind of taken it in a new direction, a direction I think is probably a lot healthier.
Oh my gosh. Yes. The profession of law, while it has so much potential to do good, there are definitely sort of interwoven, maybe more habituated, toxic environments that kind of pop up and you know, lawyers have a reputation, and I think that that reputation is born out of just the stress, this competitive dog eat dog sort of matrix that is sort of rooted in the field of law, makes it so that you are like constantly in your monster self. You're like, I want to be better than you, and I want to make more money than you, and it becomes much less about helping people and much more about kind of exercising that muscle of whatever it is that you're doing in the field. But ultimately, law is supposed to be this framework of protection and these sort of boundaried guidelines for people to resolve things within themselves. And it's, I think, deviated from that path in a lot of ways. But yeah, I am so grateful to have had the experience of going to law school and becoming a lawyer, because the spiritual side of me is the dominant side of me. And the education received from law school and the journey of becoming a lawyer really helped to strengthen that left brain persona for me, which, if you know, my podcast is called Practical and Woo. And part of my work, I believe, in the world is to bring these esoteric modalities and the spiritual invisible realms to practical use for people, right? Because it's something that we so often dismiss. The field of astronomy, for example, which is considered in Western society a true science, and the field of astrology used to be one.
Right.
One science, and they sort of were individuated, and one was cast to be a pseudoscience and not real and hocus pocus, and the other is cast to be legitimate. But both carry so much potential to help people not only understand themselves, but understand the universe and the world around them, and to sort of allow them to expand their minds to all of this potentiality. And so I'm grateful, in summation here, I'm grateful to have experienced that journey of becoming a lawyer. And I'm also equally grateful to be deviating from it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice when you can have that balance. I feel like I was in my school years, and I have a master's degree, so I went to school for a long time. I was very left-brained, even though that's not my natural state. And since I started on my spiritual journey 10, 12 years ago now, I guess, I've become very dominant on the spiritual side, and I'm having to remember how to use my left brain, because there's aspects of running a business where you really need to have that logical mind, that the math mind. Yeah, I don't do math anymore. So I am in a process right now, just in this year, this past year, of trying to really reawaken my left brain so that I can bring some balance to what I do and have it be a little less stressful.
Yes. Just trying to do
everything from the spiritual side, even in the human world, it's like not always the most efficient way to do things.
No, so, definitely. Yeah. Like you need to have those containers, right? Mm-hmm. That the left brain, or I guess the solar energy or the divine masculine energy, however you want to label it, is that cup, right? Like the essence of something exists regardless if there's a cup, but the cup offers that container to be able to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like it gives sort of the framework for something to exist. It gives that structure for something to be built upon. Yeah. Yeah. And so I love it. Yes, yeah. I'm celebrating you and your desire to strengthen your left brain.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I love living in my right brain, you know, my spiritual side. I could be lost in the ether all day long, but that doesn't serve my clients very well. You know? So I have to show up for, you know, appointments and things and wonderful conversations like this. So since you brought up the astrology thing, I mentioned before we started that for the longest time, I thought astrology was just kind of fun. It was kind of interesting. I'd read my horoscope and it never really resonated with me, but I still thought it was kind of interesting. And I'd read my kids and, you know, and everything. But once I started understanding how the universe works and that everything is energy and therefore everything has an energetic impact on everything else, right? Because it's all one big ball of lovely energy, however you want to see it. It suddenly occurred to me that those planets would have an impact on us vibrationally, energetically. And it was a real aha moment for me, because I went from something where I thought that was kind of cool, I don't really need to understand it, to this is powerful. I do want to understand it. I don't want to become an astrology person because I don't want to do that. It's just not what I'm called to. And I have friends who are really good at it, so I'll let them be the experts for me, you being one of them. So how did you start with astrology? Is it something you've always been interested in, or is it something you've come into, or?
Yeah, it's actually a twofold answer. I had an episode on my podcast 2 weeks ago where I actually tell this story. And so it's so fresh in my mind. I'm so eager to share it with you now. What I didn't share in the story on my podcast is that I've always been interested in astrology. So there was definitely that through line. I remember when I was a little girl, you could get these books of just your birth date. Like there's a birthday book, but and then there's these little teeny tiny books of just your specific date. So mine said November 12th, right? And had pages on what it meant to be born on the 12th and to be a Scorpio and like all of this like nuanced information about just my birth date. And I was obsessed with it. I can still see it in my mind right now. And then moving into university, like I was always really curious about astrology. I always resonated with being a Scorpio. So as I was saying to you before we started recording the podcast, if you don't feel resonant to your sun sign, there's probably good reason in your chart for that. And I would be so curious to pick that apart for you at some point and to help you feel that resonance to your sun sign or to your chart at large. But I remember I loved being a Scorpio. And when I learned that there were your planets in different signs, and I learned I had a Gemini moon, I was like, no, I don't. That's not. Nope. And I kind of like turned away from it for a bit and then learned what that meant and then started to embrace it more. And then in university, going on dates and stuff, I was always that meme of what's your birth time, right? Looking up mm-hmm. people's charts and trying to make my own kind of conclusions about it. And so there was a natural affinity for me. I think it was always supposed to be part of my repertoire. Mm-hmm. But the way I came to be an astrologer is quite a divine alignment story. I love that. So essentially, I started working with these amazing women, and we were building a program where we were combining mindset consulting with boudoir photography. And when I first started my business, the brand of mindset consulting that I offered was very deeply rooted in tarot. One of my other passions, mm-hmm. tarot. Mm-hmm. And we had booked a day where we were putting out like content and we were filming and all of this stuff. And so I went down and I had my tarot decks on me and we did recording. And then to leave, I ended up walking through downtown Toronto, finding myself in a bar and calling an Uber from there. And so I'm almost home and I look at my phone and I'm receiving messages on all of my social media platforms from someone I don't know. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, who is this and why are they trying to contact me? And it turns out it was the bartender of the bar. I had left my purse at the bar and she wanted to let me know. So I immediately had to turn around, go back. And I decided that that was an invitation from the universe to stay and have dinner there because it was already like way past dinner time. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to stay here. I don't want to go back and then go back again. And as a thank you to the bartender, I ended up reading her tarot at the bar, and it turned out to be an amazing night. And there was this woman visiting from New York who happens to see an astrologer from Toronto, which is where I was. And I ended up reading her tarot at the bar, and she ends up saying, like, I have an astrologer. You should see her. You should meet her. And the fun thing about all of this is that a couple of days, I believe it was a couple of days before this, I was kind of tuning into like, what should I do next? And I had pulled some oracle cards for myself. And the literal oracle card that I received said, it's written in the stars. Like bananas. Right?
Universe has a sense of humor.
I love it. Yes. And long story short, I end up seeing this astrologer, was deeply impacted by her reading. And I then inquired, like, how did you, you know, come to learn? And I ended up then doing some certifications. And the language of astrology for me was really quite natural. I have a background in classical studies. And so I understand deeply the mythology of the gods. Mm-hmm. Which is the planets are very heavily influenced by those mythologies, and the archetypal energy is very aligned. And so I have a language that I sort of started with, and then I went from there.
Wow. I love it when the universe just brings everything together for you.
Yes.
You never know how. It's like you couldn't have figured out that you were going to leave your purse there and, you know, and that whole string of events that happened. But it got you where you needed to be.
It always does. And it goes to show you that even when you have a frustrating moment, right? Like leaving your, I never leave stuff anywhere. And I'm like, I feel like I'm more forgetful now than I've ever been. But in that particular moment, like that was such an obscure occurrence for me. Like I was like, how did this even happen? Like I don't even, and clearly I was meant to be guided, to be there having a conversation with someone who was visiting from out of town, right? Like just the nuances of it are quite interesting.
Yes. Yeah. I love stories like that because it really does. You usually don't see it in the moment, but looking back, you can go, well, that was perfectly set up. you know, it just went, it was like dominoes. It just went down the way it was supposed to. When we moved here, I'm in Williamsburg, Virginia. We moved here in 1999. We had decided we needed to move out of the DC area. And once we made the decision, well, let's look at Williamsburg because we used to vacation down here with the kids, Busch Gardens and all that's here. And we both went, oh yeah, Williamsburg. We love Williamsburg. Everything fell right into place. It was like this complicated move because we had to finish the school year for the kids. And then we had to find a place temporarily down here before our house was built, blah, 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 blah. 13 months from let's move to Williamsburg to living in our house in Williamsburg. And nothing happens that fast in the construction industry. You know?
Yeah.
So we had to sell a house, rent a different place. It's like, but looking back, it's like, well, we landed exactly where we were supposed to be. We've been really happy here. The kids, it was a great place to raise the kids when they were younger. And but it's one of those where in hindsight, you know, in the moment, it's like, oh, my God, we got to move again. Oh, we got to move again. But in hindsight, it was in perfect alignment with what we needed. So, yeah, I love looking back and seeing those, you know, because it's especially with, you know, you left your purse or we were moving with two kids. You know, it's like I was in the human chaos and yet the universe was leading us the whole way.
Yes. Like, how is this going to happen? Oh, my gosh. And you have all that stress. And then it's like, I love that hindsight looking back on the mountaintop, seeing A, how far you've come, how you've evolved, how the transferable skills that you've might have learned right along the way, and just like noticing how different it feels to be where you are now versus where you were when. For me, a huge part of my journey has been mental health oriented and just the crippling anxiety in which I would feel even just to send an email or to make a reservation somewhere, that I don't have that anymore. And so that contrast is such a testament to the growing journey. And typically that kind of improvement happens from a spiritual journey or an emotional spiritual journey more so than any other kind of skill development. And so it's a testament to the kind of work that you and I commit to here. Yes.
it is. It's a testament to it. And boy, it changes the quality of I mean, not just my life, but my family's life, you know, the neighborhood, the community, it ripples out. I always like to say, you know, if you go to the grocery store and the clerk is having a hard time with somebody and ahead of you in the lot checkout line, change your energy right then and there.
Yes.
Right. Turn around and say something nice to the person behind you. When you get to the clerk, go, you handled that so well. I appreciate you sticking with it until you got it figured out. It changes the entire line of people. It changes that whole area of the store. Those people then go home to their families for dinner and they're not frazzled. And so just those little things that you kind of do naturally when you're not overwhelmed with the human experience and you have that sort of understanding that everything is there for a reason and a purpose.
Oh, that's such a liberating belief.
It is. It is. And it makes it so much easier to move through this crazy chaotic world we live in. So I want to know how you use the astrology with your clients. Is it, I know like with tarot, because I've had readings of that over the years, you come in with a question that you're looking for an answer to. So with your clients, is astrology something you sort of do at the beginning of working with them to figure out where, you know, their strengths and maybe their not so strengths are? Or
it depends on the session. I'm building out a bigger program right now that incorporates sort of a hybrid of my methodologies together. And astrology definitely plays that role of archetypal blueprint. That's what I love about astrology most would be the who am I and what's my growth potential? And a couple of caveats about that I like to be very clear about. A, free will always reigns. So no matter what happens in an astrology chart, your free will is always the governing sovereign thing, right? Astrology doesn't take that away. Like, we have to be very careful when we're using esoteric tools that we recognize that the power is within us. It's not the tool. The tool is sort of just you know, like a magnifying glass or a telescope. It's a tool that you use in your spiritual journey, but you have to understand where the source of the power is coming from, which is always you. The interesting thing for me is that I usually see a correlation between someone's desires and like what is in their astrology chart. So there's typically that natural alignment that happens anyway. And I like to emphasize the caveat of free will. I find that's really important because you never want to give your power away to an astrologer or to a methodology that isn't you, right? And so I like to be very clear about that. Ultimately, though, astrology offers this permission slip of this is me. These are my natural gifts. These are my quirks. These are the things that I'm being invited to accept about myself. These are my growing edges. And it gives a roadmap of why you are the way that you are. It gives a roadmap about like the high expression of your growing potential, like where you might be growing into or the possible kind of you that you might be growing into. And so that roadmap, that blueprint is so useful when in this journey we often want to know, like, why am I here? What am I doing? What is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of my life? And so that overarching matrix of astrology is always really interesting to look at. And it also can work because of the future predicting aspects of it as well. It can work to answer specific questions that a client might have, like what is, you know, possible for me in my love life, or who is maybe a compatible partner for me? What am I going to do in my career? What's my purpose? Things like that. Like usually if love is settled for someone, then they want to know about career. It's usually but health goes above all of it. So
health,
it's like
health and relationships, right?
That's usually the big three, right? It's like, I want to know about my health. If health is difficult or an obstacle to me, and if that's fine, then it's usually love. I want to know about my romantic connections. And if that's all settled, then people would then probably turn towards career and maybe what that looks like as well. Okay. Yeah. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did. Okay, yeah, you perfect. Did. Yeah, I'm always interested to see how people use these modalities because I've trained in 5 or 6 at this point, and I don't use all of them all the time. And there's a couple that I used a lot when I started out, but I don't really use them much anymore. Mm-hmm. But every now and then I go, oh, I have to pull that in. So I'm always interested to see, you know, sort of if there's a particular way that people use modalities.
Makes a lot of sense. The archetypal nature of astrology or the psychological nature of astrology is, I think, where my interest most lies because of that roadmap aspect of it, right? I love guiding people to accepting themselves more deeply. And I know for me, there are aspects of my chart that make sense for some of my idiosyncrasies and some of my quirks and some of the things I'm being asked to do. And sometimes, you know, you're like, I don't want to do my homework. And then something then forces you to do it. But at least I know.
I'm guilty of that a lot. I get a message. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
I don't feel it. Right?
I don't look too tired.
And then you're forced to do it at some point. Yeah. But at least I know why I'm being forced to do it, right? Like I have that language, that glimmer of, okay, my Saturn resting on my ascendant in Aquarius gives me sort of this edge of I need to be disciplined in my life and I need to accept myself for my woo. That those are two of the big things that I've had to do. And it's written right there in my chart. And so I have this visual. I have this understanding of my lesson plan in a way that I wouldn't if I didn't dive into my astrology.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I hear things like ascendants and my moon is in this. And I go, okay, I just interpret it for me.
Honestly, I'm starting to bring astrology to Praxical and Woo. And I'm noticing that I'm like, how do I convey this in a way that's interesting for people who don't want to use the language of astrology?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to explain to you what like moon and Aquarius is like. It's like it feels so like, like I'm dredging through mud. But together as a system, it carries such important like wisdom. And I'm like, OK, so I'm on today's podcast, actually, from the day we're recording this, it's like you can see me kind of grappling with, how do I convey this to you? I'm still trying to figure it out.
Well, and that's why I love that. I mean, I know so many people who are in the healing, coaching, you know, those kinds of modalities now. And it seems like everybody has sort of their passion. And I love it because then they become the expert and I can go, would you tell me what I need to know from this?
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. And even yeah. astrologers, you could go to 5 different astrologers and get something different.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our own language with it. It's more of an art that you're sort of compiling all of these different like energetic touch points mm-hmm. and then translating it through your own lens. It's like you could go to 5 different tarot readers and get a different experience. Yeah. It's a similar thing because of the way people interpret. I taught my partner's sister how to read astrology, and I love going to her with a chart and saying like, okay, what do you see? Because she'll see something or interpret something differently. And then we can deepen,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? Like, obviously this is happening only with charts that are consented.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Like it's like just for interest, like, okay, what do you see in this chart? And then the way that her collective experience and her channel,
mm-hmm.
perceives that information can deepen then the language that I have, and then I can deepen how she sees it. And that kind of co-collaboration is always very interesting also.
That's actually my favorite way to learn things is, you know, by actually doing them, experimenting with them. And I had, when I was starting out, I had a very dear friend who we kind of learned to read cards together.
Yes.
And she has a very analytical mind and I was all in the woo. And so the way I interpreted it and the way she interpreted it often were related, but not exactly the same. And we were able, like you said, then to like combine them to get a deeper understanding. And it was always fascinating. And it's a great way to learn.
It's such a great
to play with somebody else.
That's how all of life should be.
It is. That's how we are as kids.
That's how we are as kids. There's actually 4 types of power. I was studying my natal chart, I'm giving too much detail now, but I was studying like the natal chart, right? So basically mm-hmm. what that looks like is you have all of the zodiac on an outer circle, and then you have numbers up to 1 to 12 on an inner circle. And that's establishing the signs and the houses. And then the planets are cast around mm-hmm. this chart. And so a standard chart, not based on an ascendant or a birth time, starts with Aries and ends with Pisces. And I was looking at this chart and I realized that there's 4 distinct quadrants and 4 distinct powers of life. One of the most fundamental that I think we often miss, especially in the global village and the societal advancement of isolation that happens mm-hmm. because of technology, is connection power. That ability to co-create with other people relationally or co-create with the universe relationally. So there is something to be said about understanding our connection with other people and to prioritize that because mm-hmm. it is a power that leads to so much more, so yeah. much more.
Yeah. It's that to me is probably the number one thing we need to remember how to do.
Yeah.
And it's why I love women's circles. It's why I love doing these interviews, because I get to have great conversations with lots of people, most of whom I've never met before, you know. And we always find something interesting to talk about. And I do feel like I feel a friend connection with you.
Me
and we had like a pre-call for yours, and then we did your podcast, and now we're back. So it feels like we're building that relationship. And I love that. I think that is something we are desperately in need of.
Desperately in need of. And if you think about it, so a lot of people think that like money is power, right?
Mm.
But if you walk into a place and you're not your best self and you try to throw down some money for someone, maybe depending on where you are, that will get you somewhere. But most likely, if you don't have a relational connection to someone in like a restaurant or whatever, you're not going to receive the best experience
mm-hmm.
that you can, because kindness is the greatest currency,
yeah.
right? Yeah. What you were saying in a grocery store, that's the currency. That's like where real power is. oftentimes leads you into the matrix of wealth and money and other kinds of expansion in your life. But we so often forget about the currency of kindness. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, this kind of topic, I could talk about it for probably centuries.
I literally have a magnet on the back of my car that says kindness matters. And it's been there for so long. I was looking at it. It's kind of faded. It's like, I need to go buy a replacement for that.
Yes.
Hard to see. But I've had that on my car for 5 or 6 years because I didn't really think about it. But I mean, because I found it in this bin of all of these really wonderful car magnets. But that's the one that jumped out at me. But it's one of my core values is kindness. And I didn't really understand. I've had a hard time figuring out what my values are. I lived in a very value-laden family, but it was everybody else's values. I didn't know what mine were. But it has really come home to me that kindness is a core value for me. Yes. And it's something I taught my kid when, you know, my daughter was entering the teen years. There's 4 years between them. So, you know, her little brother was now a brat. And she would be, you know, kind of mean to him. And I've taught both of them. You must not treat your family worse than you would treat a stranger. Mm-hmm. And it comes down to being kind, being mindful that, you know, everybody has their own days and their own moods. And how can we be kind to each other even when we're irritated at each other?
100%. Like, you shouldn't take your bad day out on the sales rep or the barista making your coffee, right? Like, to find that gratitude for, I guess, interact with you right now.
Yeah.
An opportunity for us to engage with each other and to build something potentially, right? We all want to manifest things. And that's one of the powers. I call that creative power in my kind of quadrant map there. But if you don't have someone to create with, what's the point?
Right.
Like, you can have everything, but you're alone. Like, who wants that?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that is, I mean, you were talking about somebody walking in and flashing money around without having any relationship. You can be dead broke and still be supported by people you have connections with.
Yes.
You know, during COVID, we had, my husband and I both came down with it at the same time in the early days, or like the first year. And we had a neighbor that was dropping food off on our porch every day, you know, and she made soup for us. And, you know, but it was because we had a connection with her, and that's her love languages, you know, helping. But we have neighbors. We have a dog, and we have a neighborhood full of dogs, but there's a bunch of us that have sort of small dogs, and we all intend to be walking at the same time. And so we have our little pack on our street, and I know my neighbors better because of that connection through the dogs. But now we check in on each other. We've had another neighbor who's kind of a problem in the neighborhood. And so there's like an alert that goes out, watch out, he's on the street, you know, kind of thing. And that's a relationship that we had about 2 years between dogs that we kind of lost track of because we weren't out there all the time. Just saying, hey, you know, how's it going today? Greeting the dogs, greeting the people. Just those little... And it's like, you know, maybe 20 minutes once or twice a day, not every day. But we have support in the neighborhood because we have those connections.
Yes, all of it. Or just to like bring the sparkle, right? That ripple effect that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I saw this really cool idea and I'm like gung-ho on doing this myself. But you create a blessing bag. So you go to a store, like, you know, it can be an economical store, dollar store, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you put together a little Ziploc bag of essentials, essentially. And if you see someone who's homeless or in need, you can give them this blessing bag. And so I have this idea. I want to make these custom notes with inspirational quotes and stuff and a message of like, and make like 5 of these and keep them in my car, keep them like on my purse.
I love that idea.
Such a good idea. You can put like $5 bill in there and then like a pair of socks and maybe a snack, you know, whatever.
Yep.
Kind of comes to you, but even just that intention or that action. I once made an incredible friend with someone. He has passed away. He passed away a couple of years ago, unfortunately, but it was one of like my most notable connections, and just the journey and story of how we came to be friends will touch my heart forever. And essentially, he was a lecturer in one of my law school classes, and he had a terrible cough. And I had the thought to get him tea, and we had a break, and I was like, maybe I should get him tea. And I didn't know what he wanted, and there was another lecturer, and it was getting kind of complicated. So I didn't even end up getting him tea. But I told him, I'm like, I was going to get you tea, but I didn't know what you wanted. And just the thought for him was so meaningful to him mm-hmm. that we ended up creating this connection with each other. And I didn't even spend any money. I didn't even mm-hmm. do the thing. I just thought about doing the thing. I conveyed to him that I thought about him, and it was enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, right? It's so, yeah. so simple.
And you just reminded me when we had a younger family, I remember saying sometimes somebody in the family would go, well, I was going to do this, but that happened. I couldn't do it. I'm so sorry. I'd go, hey, you get the brownie points anyway because you thought about it.
Yes.
So, but it's like, yes, it is. It's amazing how powerful we each individually are to change the world around us. Because, you know, you do something nice for somebody, you thought about getting him tea, that changed his day. You know, somebody who he probably didn't know very well, you know, had the kindness to think, I should have some tea. And it doesn't take a lot to change a person's day.
No.
It really doesn't.
It's the most powerful currency, and it's the easiest currency.
Yeah.
Wish to dabble with. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do. I like to play with that, you know, and see somebody somewhere who's looking like they're having a grumpy day. And I just go, hey, have a great day. You know, or the sun's out. Yeah. See him light up. You see him smile. And yeah, it changes everything. And it's so easy to do. And we are so isolated that we don't even realize what we could do. In such a simple way.
That's all summed up right there. So yeah. powerful. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. All right. I want to ask you about one other thing that you do, because it's another thing that I'm real curious about. And that mm-hmm. is somatic healing.
Yes.
And so first of all, please define somatic, because it's one of those words that you see now and then, but I don't think I know. I kind of have an idea what it means, but if you could define that, that'd be great.
So somatic is body-based. So it basically is a methodology of coaching or healing that happens through the body. It happens through a present awareness of where you are at. And oftentimes we'll draw up things from the past stored in the body that need to come up for release or healing or awareness. And so it's a methodology that happens through the body, in contrast to something like talk therapy or anything that would happen just on the surface in the mind. So that's really the distinction, the definition of somatic.
Okay. Well, that's fascinating, because that's how I work.
Yeah.
There you go. Wait, that's what I do.
You're already in touch with it.
Yeah, because I'm always working with what's stuck in the body.
Exactly. You
know? And so, okay, go on.
It's so powerful, though, how when I first dove into somatic healing, and the healing certification that I got is actually through Layla Martin's program. I don't know if you know who that is. She's mm-hmm. a sex, love, and relationship coach. That's her niche. And she created the VITA coaching methodology. And it's like vertical integrative, I think this is what it stands for, vertical integrative tantric approach. And so she uses tantra and neuroscience to establish this methodology that then equates to a version of somatic healing, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so it's wild when you get acquainted with yourself through the body, how much comes out. When I was involved with talk therapy for a very brief period, and it was helpful to a degree, but I find it just keeps you kind of rooted in the identity in which you've been mm-hmm. impacted, right?
Yep.
In which you've experienced hardship or pain, and then you're constantly reaffirming those narratives, right? You're like, well, this happened, and then this happened. This is how I grew up. And that then becomes the affirmation of your identity and the affirmation right. of who you are. It can only take you so far unless you build this awareness of the present moment. And so my first like personal experience with somatic healing is it was sort of one of like, how are all these images coming out? Like, how am I making these correlations? I once referenced a plumbing, and it was a word and a picture that came to my mind. I'm like, I'm not a plumber. Like, I don't know what this is. I even had to Google like what I thought the word was. And like, I typed in the word I said, and it completely related to the emotional experience that I was having. I can't remember it right now because it was like so like body-based, right? It was so intuitive that like, it's not even part of my regular vernacular. Like I don't even remember what it was, but it's like, what? And then you learn to trust the imagery. You learn to trust the tastes, even like you learn to trust the five senses reality that you're having around a neck pain or a back pain or a feeling that you're carrying in your body, and just the layers of relief that can come out from diving in that specific way is so unbelievably healing. Like it boggles my mind. That's why I'm shaking my head. It's just like, how?
And it can happen really fast.
Yes.
Really fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had some of those experiences myself. And if anybody's ever heard me talk, heard my stories. But one big thing for me was that I held a belief that I was not aware of, that I had to be afraid of everything. And a healer helped to bring that into my consciousness, helped me to clear the energy. And I went from having been in the ICU for observation after allergy testing, not even shots, just the testing, to being allergy free for like close to 10 years now. And it happened in an hour. Now, I had done some preparatory work. I was ready to shift that. Not everybody's going to walk in first time they go see a healer and it's going to go, oh, you're a failure. But it was getting that fear out of my body and making it aware of it and changing my belief, getting rid of that old belief that didn't serve me. It did as a child to protect me, but it did not serve me as an adult. And it was like an hour. And it was life-changing. And I didn't even know that was somatic healing, but that's exactly what it was, because she was working with what was stuck in the body. And the body was expressing it as these massive allergies. And you get the belief out of there, the body goes, oh, good, I don't have to be afraid anymore. I don't need those allergies to protect you, you know? So it's very powerful. It's very powerful work. I'm really glad I have a word for it now.
Yes. Full body chills, by the way. Yes. It's like just the night and day difference of how you can feel, right? When you're bogged down by your collective experience without a true outlet of allowing it out, you know, or to integrate it or to release it in some way, you carry that around with you, and it manifests in all of these different ways.
Yeah.
It boggles my mind. I just like even lost my train of thought just now. I'm just like so lit up. My
word. We have a great high vibration on this podcast. We get way up there.
I actually have to tell you that your guardian, your angel, Sorrel, the shopping angel, is she's fantastic. It's a shout out.
Another one. I keep telling people about her and I keep getting feedback going, yeah, she's awesome.
So it's just so fun that energy of please help me find this or, you know, connect me with this. Yeah.
Yeah. So what she's, in case you haven't heard that story from me, I have an angel that I met through a friend who was getting help from that angel in renovating her kitchen. And I said, I need somebody who would shop for me, because she was shopping for kitchen stuff. And that angel relayed to me that she could work with me too. And her name was Surreal. And so I did. I asked her to help me find, it was a pair of hiking pants. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I asked her for help doing that. And 2 days later, I knew I had to go to that store at that time and that place, and got not one, but two pairs of pants for on sale in my, and now that's how I do my shopping. I have, my son's getting married in the summer, and I'm like, okay, Surreal, start looking. I need a dress.
Oh my gosh. No, it's so fun to play with the universe and the angelic realm in that way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the images you were talking about getting, I get lyrics to songs that most of them I've heard before, but not all of them, but they'd be like songs I haven't thought of since I was a kid kind of thing coming through. And I relay them to the client because they're meaningful in some way. And sometimes I know what the meaning is, and sometimes I just have to let them, you know, say, oh, that reminds me of when I was 12, you know? So it's that element of trusting what we receive as healers is really, really important. And it's something that I talk a lot about with people when I'm teaching them how to work with their guides.
Yeah.
You have to trust what you're getting.
Yeah.
Because it's important. And if you don't trust it, you're not going to see any changes.
That same zone of genius, too, is that mechanism to root into your healing of your limiting beliefs and your, you know, opinions that you have about the world, or to root into a new perspective as well. So it's, you can get your guidance, you can get your channel, but you can also get this insight about like deep pain that you're carrying in your body.
Yeah. And we're so used to it. It's so normal for us. We don't even know we're carrying the pain.
We don't know.
Or the belief or whatever it is. Yeah.
Animals, when they get traumatized, vigorously shake in order to move that energy out of the body. And yet here we are learning from our society that emotions mean these negative things and you shouldn't feel them or you'll be weak or vulnerable or whatever. And it's like, no, you have to move through it. That is paramount in order to not maintain it, to carry it with you forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't hold it in your body, because eventually it's going to turn into something painful or, you know, some disease or you don't do that. Don't do that.
Let it go. Let it go. Surrender it. Learn from it.
Yeah. Well, and that's where I've learned to ask what was in that for me? Not why did that happen to me? Because it does shift my perspective. And invariably, there is something important that I've learned or that I have shifted or I have been able to let go of. Again, it's that hindsight thing that sometimes you have to look backwards to see what you did. And so, yeah, that perspective is really important. And so anything we can do to change that perspective from that old paradigm of, you know, I'm unsafe or I'm unworthy or I'm not smart or I'm, you know, whatever. Change that to I am a beautiful human being.
Mm.
People love me for just who I am. You know, those kinds of, again, these little shifts that we can make.
Yes.
Massive. It's just like smiling at somebody in the store.
Yes. I love me for who I am.
Yeah.
So start there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
That self perspective. That self-love. Yeah. Which is like doesn't mean that you're getting manicures every day and getting your hair. It's that an invitation to be your own best friend.
Yes.
Which is so hard to do often.
It is. It is. We live in a culture that is all about what needs to be fixed, what's broken, what needs to be fixed, what is out of the norm, what's going to draw attention you don't want, you know, and especially as women, I think we do kind of hem ourselves in for safety reasons. I just lost my train of thought.
Out the door.
I don't know what we were talking about.
Okay. We're transmuting at such a vigorous level.
I know. I get up in the clouds here and it's just kind of just happy woo-woo kind of feelings. But
here's a question. When's the first time you liked yourself? Like truly, like I could say I like myself. Was that forever for you?
Very clearly. I was 21, 22. I was living in New Orleans. I had finished college. I'd been abroad for 6 months after that and lived at home with my mom for a year because I couldn't afford to do anything else. It was the previously worst recession as opposed to the 2008 when this was the early 80s. But I had gotten into grad school. I had moved to New Orleans. I was living on my own. I had a beat up car that got me from class to home, and that was about it, you know, and living the life of a grad student in New Orleans, which is an awesome place to live. Not necessarily a great place to be a student because you don't want to study that much. And I remember it was a beautiful day. I was driving home from school and I was on one of the beautiful boulevards that they have in that town. The windows were open because I didn't have any air conditioning. And then I was euphoric. I was absolutely euphoric. I was so happy. I was happy with who I was. I was happy with where I was. I was happy with what I was doing. Everything in my life had just kind of clicked into focus for me. And I remember that vividly. But then life kept happening. And I got reintroduced to my parents and that sort of stuff. So there was still old stuff. I hadn't cleared it. Mm. But I had come to a place that I was really happy with myself. Mm. And so there's been years of since then where I have not remembered that feeling. But I'm getting pretty good at holding on to not judging myself and just enjoying who I am right now.
How do you carry that forward?
A lot of it is, it's that perspective thing. You know, if I find I'm having a really bad day, I try to like stop and go, okay, why am I attracting this feeling, this whatever? And usually I'm either tired or I'm feeling overwhelmed because I've got too many things to do in too short a period of time. I have a lot of time-related anxiety that I'm working on. And so it's usually one of those. And that's, I sit down and I look at my calendar and I go, okay, I can move that to next week. Mm-hmm. And I can move that there. And look, now I have time to go take a walk in the woods. So that's how I'm working on it right now. But a lot of times it's just being present in the moment.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Pulling back from all of that chaos that we tend to carry in our lives. But I love moving things on my calendar, or better yet, just deleting them.
Deleting them, saying to someone like, hey, we have to reschedule this.
Yep.
Communication, right? Like, don't just not show up, right?
Right.
Just let the person know, hey, something right. came up that it was unexpected.
And actually, I'm quite comfortable saying, I really am just feeling overwhelmed and I won't be at my best right now. So can we reschedule this?
All of that.
And people are always like, hell yeah.
Yeah. At least like if you give the notice, like mm-hmm. you're not just logged in on the meeting or.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
But it's important to recognize that what are we rushing for and right. what are we rushing towards? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I find that there's often this like invisible feeling of, well, if I don't do this today, like it feels like your entire world is going to crumble around you. But why does that have to be the case?
Yeah.
Why do you have to do all of that today?
Right.
What is this like? What's the whole purpose of it? Right. You're going to burn yourself out. You're probably not going to get there.
Right. Right.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's part of our culture is to be more productive, be more productive, be more productive. I want to enjoy what I'm doing.
Yes.
And so that's where I'm really am working on this time anxiety thing. Excuse me, I get hiccup all of a sudden because I don't want to feel anxious about time. I love to just kind of flow through a day.
Yes.
And there are times where I have appointments because, you know, I like to talk to people once, but if I can keep those to one or two a day and then the rest of the day can flow, then that keeps me happy.
Yeah.
But I do have to stop and I do. It's like, yeah, that was a great day. I got three things done. Hey.
We have to normalize that. We have to celebrate that. I completely am on the same page as you. I also have time anxiety for the same reasons. It's like you want to be your best self. You're told that it looks this way to do that, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. be a productive human in society, to, you know, X, Y, and Z, fill in the blanks of this box that we're all trying to shove ourselves into. But the colorful mosaic is so much more impactful to be that unique puzzle piece, mm-hmm. part of the great, no matter how or what you're doing, you as in each individual person matters, contributes, has value, mm-hmm. even if it doesn't look like what is highly prioritized or highly celebrated. The onus is on us now to reclaim the celebration of our value every day. Like, did you keep your house clean? You know how hard it is to do that? Or are you a full-time cleaner helping other people keep their house clean? Right? There's value there.
Yes.
It has been celebrated.
Yeah. And there are days where I like walk the dog. I put that on my calendar so I can see I walk the dog for 20 minutes there. We took an hour walk in the afternoon. Those things are important too. And part of it for me is, especially with the kind of work that you and I do, I want to show up as my best self. You know, if I'm working with a client, I want to be the best person I can be that day
yep.
for that person. because mm-hmm. that's going to improve the value of what I'm able to do with them.
Yeah.
So that is where I'm starting to go, okay, being frazzled is not helping anybody. Me, my family, my dog, nobody. Nobody likes it when I'm frazzled.
But if I allow myself the grace and mm-hmm. the non-judgment of flowing through my day, then I can be my best self at any given moment, you know? So I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. We all are.
We all are.
All right. So I have one last thing I want to ask you. Is there anything we haven't brought up today that you particularly want to let the listeners know?
Oh my goodness. I feel like this was such an expansive conversation that covered so many different corridors of subject matter. The only thing that is coming to mind right now is just a reiteration of, like, you have the permission to craft and build a life that you want and that you enjoy and that lights you up, that by the time you get to the end of it, whenever that may be, you have so many magical sparkly moments that when you're invited to reminisce on it or to reflect on the life that you've lived, you can't pick.
Yeah.
You're so lit up. And why don't we prioritize that kind of life? Right? Yeah. And that life looks different for everybody. And to celebrate the uniqueness and the difference and the nuance of what your sparkly moments look and feel like, right? Instead of trying to chase what we're told is expected of us, to be the creator of your life, to mm-hmm. enjoy even the mundane and make it magical, to make yourself a cup of tea and be so present with it that you bask in not only the flavor, you bask in the warmth of it in your hands. You can smell it, you can feel it, you can notice the environment in which you're experiencing it and feel so lit up by that. And then recognize that your ability to feel so lit up by something so simple mm-hmm. is a grander invitation to bring that magic into your life at large. And so that's my addition here.
No, I like that. And it's sort of one of the themes that's been running through this is that little things can have huge impact.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. It's perfect. Perfect way to sum up.
All right. Can you let people know where they can find you?
Absolutely. So I have all of my social media, candidly, is a work in progress, just like me. But you can contact me through these platforms. So I'm available through my website, MindsetXManifest. So it's mindsetandmanifest.com. I have the same Instagram. You can also email me at edenalexwine@gmail.com. And if you want to contact me to ask me any questions or just, you know, gab about something, I'm always available for that. So
perfect. Yeah. Perfect. You sound so much like me.
Make a call with me. I just like to talk to people.
Just ask me questions. I'm so happy to answer your curiosities and your musings about any topic.
Right. All right. I think we have come to the end.
Amazing.
And I want to thank you, Eden, for an amazing conversation. I mean, I know we had a couple of things specific, but I think we covered a lot of ground. It was really fun and interesting and really a true conversation. So I appreciate that. I appreciate you bringing your energy to it.
I am so grateful to be here, and I completely feel so similarly. And what we were able to dance with today in our connection, it's nothing short of magic. So thank you for having me on today.
You're most welcome. All right, friends, thank you for joining us today on Curiously Wise, Practical Spirituality in Action. I hope you have gleaned some really interesting little things and maybe some bigger things that you can bring into your life in a practical way. And in the meantime, I'll see you next time and stay curious. Thank you so much for joining us today on Curiously Wise. I hope this conversation has left you feeling inspired and curious about the world around and within you. After all, curiosity is the key to growth and understanding. So keep asking questions and exploring new ideas. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing and/or leaving a review. It helps us be found by others. If you're curious to learn more about me or my healing practice, Heart Light Wellness, head over to my website at heartlightjoy.com. Until next time, I'm Lauren Wittig. Stay curious.